Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Kaynes Technology India Limited, hosted by FM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Deepak Agrawal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of JM Financial Securities Limited, I welcome you all to Kaynes Technology India Limited Q3 FY24 earnings call. Today we have with us senior management represented by Mr. Ramesh Kunhikannan, Founder and Managing Director, Ms. Savitha Ramesh, Chairperson, Mr. Jairam Sampath, Full-time Director and Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rajesh Sharma, CEO, and Mr. Neeraj Vinayak, Head of Investor Relations. Without taking much of time, I would like to hand over the floor to the management for their opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, friends. Am I audible, GPS?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Good afternoon, friends. I would like to welcome everyone present on the call from the entire Kaynes team of Kaynes Technology. I have along with me on the call Mrs. Savitha Ramesh, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Jairam Sampath, CFO, Mr. Rajesh Sharma, our CEO, and Mr. Neeraj Vinayak, our Head of Investor Relations. Firstly, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to our esteemed investors, whose confidence and support played a vital role in the company's successful QIP. We are committed and excited about the roads ahead and look forward to your continuous support. I am very pleased to share with you all that we have surpassed our 23-year run rate during the first 9 months of FY24. I am confident of delivering on our full-year guidance. Coming to our performance for the quarter ended December 31st, 2023, our total revenue was INR 5,093 million, registering a growth of 76% year-on-year. Our growth was largely led by strong demand in the industrial, including EV and railway verticals. Our Q3 FY24 EBITDA was INR 699 million compared to INR 412 million last year. PAT for Q3 stood at INR 452 million compared to INR 229 million during last year. We continue to witness strong demand across verticals, with monthly order inflow reaching rupees 2,788 million per month from rupees 2,741 million during Q2 FY24. Our order book as of December 31 is 2023 stood at INR 37,890 million. Now, coming to major development for the quarter. To deepen our technology deck, we are making strong strides by getting into manufacturing collaboration of high-complex AI-driven technology products in the cybersecurity, medical, AR/XR space. Some of the recent engagement on this front includes, first, to enhance our technological bandwidth, we have tied up for manufacturing a clear glass lens under a technology partnership with upcoming technology disruptor in this space. Their platform allows OEMs to create customizable, cost-effective waveguide based on their experiences for both enterprise and consumer applications. Second, we entered into exclusive partnership with FIDO2 certified Microsoft compatible biometric security solution provider. FIDO2 is a phishing-proof, passwordless authentication protocol defined by the FIDO Alliance and the Worldwide Web Consortium, W3C. The technology has already been approved by the Public Financial Management System under the Ministry of Finance. These collaborations will help the company position itself as a single-stop solution provider, enabling a superior presence in the complex product, along with ensuring industry leader and margin profile. Other achievements are, during the quarter, Kane's become the first company to successfully deliver fourth generation CKD server board for a global OEM. In addition, we have also recently received a large award letter in the aerospace segment. Also got two major order wins on the industrial side, catering to educational robots and UPS. We have also received order from a motor controller on the EV side. In line with our stated policy of having last mile presence in US, we have done acquisition of Digicom Electronics. The company has a couple of SMT lines and caters to complex product profiles. With this acquisition, Kane's will be able to target complex and technological advanced product profile in the North American market too. Additionally, we have also invested for a significant stake in a US-based tech startup doing revolutionary work in the space of silicon photonics. This strategic investment is also in line with our roadmap of moving up in terms of handling complex semicon packages to strengthen our capability, along with superior profitability. We are in an interesting space, and this phase of evolution of electronic industry taking shape world over, and India remains at the center of this technological advancement. We are excited about the opportunities that lie ahead and are confident in our ability to navigate any challenges that come our way. With this, I will now hand over the call to Jairam Sampath to take you through our financial performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ramesh ji. Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this call. I will be presenting the financial performance of our company for the period ending 31st December 2023. For the quarter ended 31st December 2023, our consolidated total revenue was INR 5093 million, representing a 76% year-on-year growth. For the 9 months ended September 2023, the consolidated December 2023, the consolidated total revenues were 11673 billion, representing 53% year-on-year growth. The consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was INR 699 billion, showing a 70% year-on-year increase, while for the first 9 months it was INR 1589 billion, which was up 46%. The EBITDA margins for the quarter and 9 months FY24 stood at 13.7 and 13.6% respectively. Our consolidated PAT for the quarter was INR 452 million, up 98% year-on-year, and for the first 9 months it was INR 1022 million, up 89% year-on-year. PAT margin for the quarter stood at 8.9% and first 9 months it was 8.8%. We have surpassed our FY23 revenues during 9 months FY24, and based on our current order book, which stands at 37,890 million Indian rupee, we are very confident of achieving the full year guidance. Net working capital at the end of December was at 117 days on an annualized basis, lower than the 135 days at the end of the previous quarter. Our inventory was higher as we have to make advanced purchases, keeping in mind the requirements of the upcoming quarters. Our net debt stood at the end of the quarter, adjusted for unutilized proceeds, was at about 2449 million compared to 1924 million at the end of previous quarter. Our ROE and ROCE adjusted for unutilized portions of the proceeds were at 18.6 and 16.8% respectively for the 9 month FY24. We continue to make progress on our expansion plans and continuously adding newer lines across various facilities. In Chamarajanagar, we have operationalized alpha and beta blocks and gamma block is getting ready. We have started work on operationalizing our Pune facility, which was acquired recently. All these expansions will help the company ramp up its production significantly over the coming quarters. I would like to thank our esteemed investors for their tremendous support and faith in the company for the recently concluded QIP. On OSAT, we have provided Government of India all the requisite details and hopeful of hearing positive outcomes shortly. We have also started preliminary construction work in the Telangana and hopeful of meeting the desired timeline for the same. We'll be sharing finer details as we make further progress on the same. We look forward to your continuous support on this journey ahead. With this, I would request all participants to come in with their questions. I now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nitin Sharma from MC Pro Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Two questions. First of all, your gross margin has come down compared to the last quarter. Is it because of change in the type of orders on the industrial side? And how should we see it going ahead?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the question. Fundamentally, one small change in the way we compute our gross margin was done compared to the last year. Earlier, we used to compute all the consumables which are pertaining to one particular project as part of expenses. So the gross margin was about 1.5% higher than what it is today. So whatever gross margins we are showing now, we have to add a quantum of 1.5% approximately to make it comparable with gross margins last year. Having said that, it is still not equal to the gross margins last year. This is primarily because a lot of new projects have been onboarded. If you notice, we are growing at a very high rate. So all the new orders in the first few quarters, by the time we manage all the materials, supply chain and proper pricing and forecast, etc., it takes a bit of time, and that's why the gross margin appears to be a tad lower. But fortunately for us, the operating leverage will be better than expected, because the sales numbers are higher than what we have been expecting so far. So in an overall basis, I think we'll be able to match the numbers on a PAT basis. Thank you.
Understood. Secondly, where do you see your working capital day stabilizing? I think this continues to remain elevated. So some understanding with regards to would be helpful.
Yeah. So end of first two quarters, it was 135. See, primarily it's driven by inventories. It was 135 days net working capital at the end of second quarter, that is half year. And end of third quarter, it has come down to 117. We are confident that we will certainly bring it down below. See, last 2 years have been 98, 99 days. We'll certainly bring it much below these two numbers by the end of March. Because March quarter will do significant amount of sale, almost 35% to 40% of the annual sales happens in March quarter. So we are quite confident that we can bring down the inventory. Then of course, we will also have taken some steps to control receivables. So we are sure that we will bring down the net working capital days much below the numbers that we had for the last year. And going forward, we have put some.
Hello.
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 Yes. Yes, sir. You can speak, sir.
Yeah. Is it possible for you to break it down in terms of inventory days, receivable days, and payable days in this, in current quarter? Hello. Hello, am I audible?
Hey, you're audible on my backup phone. And the main.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Please reconnect.
Hello, sir.
So, yeah. Should I repeat the question?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you could. The first question I had answered, I hope you got the answer.
Yes, I did. Just add on to that, is it possible for you to break down the number of days for inventory, receivable,
yeah,
and
yeah,
payable
yeah.
for this quarter?
I had answered that. I'll repeat that answer here. Essentially, from the first half numbers, the number of net working capital days come down 135 to 117 now. By end of the year, we are confident that both inventory and receivables will be much lower than what we are, because third quarter is also in terms of larger amount of business. So we expect the net working capital days to come significantly below last year's total number, which was for hovering around 98-99 days. And going forward into May, FY26 and FY25 and 26, we think that we can make further gain. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back to the queue.
Yeah. Next question, please.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your question to 2 per participant. Should have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the question. Our next question is from the line of Rahul from Hilton India. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in the first 9 months, you know, we've seen order backlog improvement. I want to know, where the margins are in the first 9 months. How is the margin profile of the order book that you have right now with you?
Yeah. So there are some new orders which we have executed during the first 3 quarters, which has pulled down the margins a little compared to what we probably anticipated. But at the end of the year, on a year-on-year basis, I think there will be no significant drop in margins. And at that level, we still think that we will hold the numbers that we talked about. As far as order book is concerned, it contains the order profile similar to what we have on the sales number. However, one small point that I want to make is that there are orders expected in the railway as well as in the aerospace area which are not yet locked into the order. So we are awaiting the numbers, and those are going to be a significant part of our sales, especially in FY25. So what you see now as order book is at the minimum whatever current performance is there, and we will continue to get operating leverage, and next year we will also get cost reductions in our materials, because all these newly onboarded customers will start getting regular supply from suppliers who can give us lower prices. Broadly, that is the reason why you see quarterly basis some little dips sometimes. But we are confident that it's not something very alarming. And next year, certainly, we have these two bigger segments kicking up. And their order confirmations are that it is just that they have to physically issue the order to us. And so that will happen sometime, maybe March, April time frame. And then you will see a probably better performance also in the next year.
Okay, so FY24 margin will be similar to or slightly lower than FY23 is what you are saying. And 25 and 26, we can see some bit of improvement on that margin. That's what you are saying on the EBITDA level.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In the long run, it will be similar to what we have been discussing.
Okay. Sir, typically when you are in the process of executing an order, at what percentage of execution do you start booking margins? You know, is it 10% or is it a simultaneous booking of margin? How do you account
for it? Yeah, yeah. There is a small clarification. These are all just like production kind of activity. It's not a project. As in, it's not based on milestone completion, but it's based on number shipped. The project refers to the customer's terminology, not really what we do. We do actually a simple production. That means, for instance, we Honeywell or some such aerospace customer orders some avionics. So maybe they call it some project X because it is going to the next aircraft. But as far as we are concerned, they will order, let's say, 5,000 units of this item and 4,000 units of that item, etc. And they will give us a schedule, do so much in January, so much in February, and so on. So we actually ship. So our revenue recognition is after the item is shipped completely from our factory and based on Incoterm. So in case we have X work, more than 99% of customers is always X work, wherein the responsibility for picking up and transportation is with the customer. The moment we ship out of our factory, we recognize it.
Okay, fair enough. So margins are stable through the execution, you know, whether it is a one-month execution period or whatever time be. So my last question is on the CAPEX. You know, what is the kind of CAPEX that you have already done? And how do you see the CAPEX happening over the next 2 or 3 years? You know, and if you can actually talk about how that OSAT-related CAPEX is also planned, you know, that will give us a good, you know, idea of CAPEX over the next maybe 5 years.
Sure, sure. So we have two sets of businesses here. One is the existing business, which is the ESDM business. And as I said earlier also, IPO was done last year, and November 22, we completed the IPO. Whatever monies we have raised there is sufficient, in our opinion, to support a CAGR of about 45% growth over time in the ESDM sector of the business. Because we also are expecting some improvements on the working capital and all that. So the OCF and EBITDA percentage will improve. And by FY25 end, we expect that the ESDM part of the business will start generating enough resources to help with CAPEX investment. So that is so we had raised about 260 crores in the IPO, and that has been employed, and by end of this year probably we will complete all of those investments. We are also taking a little time to implement, because we also realize that while of course we have put in the objects an approximate cost, etc., but we are trying to squeeze those CAPEXs so that we can deliver has the latest machines and also a little more capacity. And so we are, our internal thing says that, you know, on an annual run rate of about 3,000 crores, we have enough capacity. So even thereafter, we will have enough of operating cash flows to fund any more CAPEXes for this particular business. But the second part of business is OSAT, the new project, which contains OSAT. And then there is, of course, this PC board, which is high density interconnection. So OSAT and PC board projects, as we have, it's all there in the documents that we have already uploaded. You could take a look at some detail and we can always chat later. But suffice it to say that 2 years it takes to commence the operations meaningfully from the commercial perspective. Already factory set up, building, land development, all that has started off, and we are, the first building is just coming up, the pillaring, etc. has been done. So we are on schedule as far as that project is concerned. And in 2 years' time, we start commercial, commence the production. And that means 2 years means this is like FY26 end. You'll start significant revenues coming in from the OSAT business. And 27 and 28, we'll see full-fledged revenues coming in. This is a business where you get a typical asset turnover of about 1 to 1.5. So you can calculate and see what kind of revenues they are. As far as PC board business is concerned, these are high-density interconnection boards. So the factory setup, etc., is expected to happen in about 1.5 years' time. So in 2 years' time, again, we'll start getting some commercial production happening. And then again, FY27 and 28, you can see some good ramp up. This business also is typically 1 to 1.5 times asset turnover. These are all capital intensive businesses. But we are happy to tell you that in case of PC board, a lot of consumption that we can plan from our existing business itself, because we do buy almost a large amount of our purchases in the commodities is PC boards, which we can of course feed from our own unit. So that way we get double benefits. One is consumption surety, and then second is whatever the margins that we actually let other companies make, we can flow it into our own company. So it will be margin accretive deal as far as PC board is concerned. So the current CAPEX, whatever money we have raised, 1,400 crores, that contains three parts. One is, of course, the OSAT, second is the PC board, and third is general corporate purposes. General corporate purposes broadly will go into, of course, OSAT and PCB majorly, but they will also aim towards some of those contracts that we are having with agreements with other companies, etc. So
The total package is expected to give us significant revenues in FY27 and 28 in these two new areas.
Okay. So just last number on the export front. How is that? How is the export in the order book and the revenue this quarter, 9 months, whichever number you can share?
Yes, sir. So as far as order book and this thing is concerned, our export is anywhere between 15% to 20%. But next year, we expect the export to go up because especially aerospace and the railways business, some exports will come in, especially in the aerospace business, strong exports will come in. So next year, we can expect more exports also in our order book. Right now, those orders have been confirmed, but not placed with the details. So that's why they don't enter the order book at this point in time. So currently, 15-20%. Next year, will be more than that, maybe more like 25%.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir, and all the very best.
Most welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Renu Bay from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon and congratulations for strong results, sir. My first question is to understand the mix and the impact on gross margins this quarter. If you see, industrial segment has seen the sharpest jump and simultaneously there has been a jump in share of box build revenues. Does this corroborate to also indicate that combination of the applications for which we have executed this quarter were carrying significantly lower gross margins despite being box built, which typically tends to have higher margins than conventional PCBA applications?
So, thank you, Renuji. See, fundamentally, one thing is I explained about 1.5% was hiding in expenses previous year's gross margin. So that gross margin, you must add that to compare it with previous year. That's pertaining to consumer.
No, I'm comparing it even on a sequential basis, QOQ basis. Not
as a sequential. Sequential, that's not important.
Yeah.
The second thing is as far as box build is concerned, even for any new product that we do, especially in the industrial EV side, which contains a fair bit of percentage of sales currently. In the third quarter, the box build came down a tad, I think, if I'm not mistaken, a couple of percentage points, if I'm not mistaken, compared to last time. And box build will be more profitable in the long run. In the long run, means at least first 2-3 quarters, we must, any new product that we onboard will entail more cost, whether it's developing the assembly processes, we may put more cost of materials, etc., because we have to get fulfilled short-term orders, etc. So you can expect correlation between box build increase and margin increase sometime in the fourth quarter. You can definitely see this. Hopefully, we will get there now because we are also getting some reductions in cost, etc. So that will take care of some of the smaller dips which are happening because of new product onboarding. The second thing is also vertical-wise. So obviously, the percentage of railway and aerospace vertical is still lower in the first three quarters than what we had anticipated. But we do have confirmations, and I think going forward into fourth quarter, we certainly will improve those numbers. At least currently it's 11.3%, if I'm not mistaken, of the total. So maybe it will go up to about 13.5% or so. So that will also improve the margins. So broadly, margins will recover in the fourth quarter at gross level, as well as our EBITDA also will be better because we'll have further operating leverage. We're not planning to add any more major costs now. So, and revenues will be something like 35-40% of the whole year. So from that perspective, I think you can see both gross margin level improvement in Q4 as well as improvement in the EBITDA number, operating EBITDA number in Q4.
Sure. So secondly, given the recent disruptions in supply chains and trade from the Red Sea, do we anticipate any headwinds on the inventory side or working capital? Though you alluded that working capital will come off. So do we see any material impact on business and margins from this in the near term? And also aligned with this, if you can also share any business updates on the IT hardware side, where we are working for large enterprise clients on localized solutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Renuji. So as far as inventory is concerned, that's what I had. I think the first question I had alluded to that. And we are confident that we will make significant reduction in the net working capital, mainly driven by reduction in inventory. So reduction in inventory in terms of number of days, it has two components. One is the quantum of inventory, second is the quantum of sale in the quarter.
So when we analyze it, I think net working capital of 170. So part of that reduction will be driven by increase in sales A. And also we have already stocked up almost all the material for the next quarter because we already have the order book, and based on order book, the materials have, orders have been purchased. So now during this quarter, we'll be purchasing small amount of material for shortage, you know, balancing. So I don't expect any headwinds in terms of inventory being going out of control or something. So just that is one of those things which we have to watch in our business, because we have two pressures which increases inventory. One is new orders that come in. And second is this, some supply chain disruptions that are like, that sometimes happened in the past. So those are the two things we have to watch. Otherwise, I expect the net working capital to come down to the expected levels by end of March. And on the IT,
based on
the,
IT hardware.
Yeah, on the IT hardware side, we have, So in addition to working with one of the large government agencies for manufacture of high-performance computing servers, we are also working with one of the Government of India entities for development of technology within high-performance computing servers. And shortly, when that activity is done, we will come out and we'll announce that particular thing. So what we are doing is we are increasing our depth of offering in the entire IT high-performance computing server space. And we are also using our capabilities and investments that are coming up with the Semicon and PCB board, HDI PC board factories, so that over the next 1 or 2 years, we become, let's say, a very high-value-adding company in the area of servers and things like that. And as you know, we already have PLI in this. So next year, you can see some good business being done in that area.
Got it. Thanks, much and best wishes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Renuji. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Afrit Sayed from Incred Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so thanks for taking my question and congrats on great set of numbers. So my first question is on industry and EV side. So can you please elaborate which are the key clients and main products you are serving in this segment?
Sorry, could you repeat that, Sayedji? Could you repeat that question?
Yes, sir. Can you please elaborate more about industrial and EV segment? So which are the key clients and a key product in this segment?
We see, to the extent that we have consents, we have already published. So I'm not at liberty to publish names, but of course in EV, we have all the leaders in those segments who are operating in India. We yet don't have too much of exports in EV. We do have some small component exports in EV to Europe, and we are also working on charging infrastructure EV. So they are all leading people in two-wheeler and four-wheeler category in India.
Yeah, thanks. And sir, my second question on OTAR business. Can you please elaborate more about your tie-up with Global? And again, which sector you are more focused as far as OSAT is concerned?
Yeah, so as far as OSAT is concerned, of course, as I've been discussing during our other meetings and so on, we are focused on the branded semiconductor segment. And our approach to OSAT is to start at the regular semiconductor assembly business, which is starting with certain packages which are very popularly used in most of the industrial and critical applications, and then quickly move on to in the second stage to what is known as advanced packaging and compound semiconductors, etc. So we are preparing in tandem for both the approaches. In the second approach, we require a lot of technology partnerships, which we have already announced a couple of them already, and we are going forward. As far as the first is concerned, the factory construction, which is the long lead item, has already started. And the land development was concluded, factory construction started off. So hopefully we will, by end of this year or early April, we will have the factory up and running. And we also kind of made arrangements for the equipment, et cetera, et cetera. So there are a lot of moving parts in this project. So we are quite having all of them under some kind of a control. And obviously a lot of effort is going into managing these. In terms of segments, they are all critical industrial segments, power products, etc. The initial packages will be QFN, BGA, Then of course SOT to begin with, and then of course there's stacked die QFN, stacked die BG, etc. So these represent essentially critical products, but of the, let's say, they are not very low node semiconductors. So that also works well with our initial intent to learn this entire assembly technology, make sure how we work with the supply chain, work well with customers before you know, making move to advanced packaging.
Okay, sir. That's it
so
much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So just wanted to talk a little more about this DigiLens theme that you've announced. You know, what exactly will we be doing? I mean, we'll be doing the OSAT, the PCB, etc. And, you know, given that the plants are yet to be operational, do we start the PCB assembly beforehand? If you can just talk about this and such, and what is, and how large can this client be for us over a period of 2-3 years?
So DigiLens partnership represents our foray into a high-tech technology, which the technology leader, DigiLens is the technology leader in that particular technology, has chosen us to represent them in India, and they have also wanted some capacity for their business in the US. So this has got, of course, two components. One, which is similar to Semicon, not really Semicon, but similar to Semicon business. The other is the typical assembly business that we do, which has to be done under clean room conditions and all that. And I'm happy to tell you that both these activities we are pursuing, and we, I think, in the process of setting up a team jointly to get trained and so on and so forth. The initial stage of tie-up and agreements, etc., has been done. And going forward, we will pursue both the opportunities, one which is in Semicon area, which has something to do with the innards of that particular product. It's a licensed technology, obviously, so I can't share more than this at this point in time, but suffice it to say that our value footprint will be much higher than typical manufacturing contract in the EMS space.
Okay, okay. Got it, sir. So the other thing was on OSAT. We were looking to commission the plant in phases between, you know, 2Q of this year and 2Q of 25. Given that, you know, the approval is yet pending, you know, by when do we expect the revenues to start kicking in? And if you can also talk about the bare PCB plant, whether the land has been allocated and when does the construction of the plant is expected to begin?
So as far as the bare, let me answer the first OSAT business. See, OSAT approvals, I think other than Micron, all other approvals are kind of just getting done now. As I speak to you, a lot of hectic activity is going on this week. I think the department, I can't speak on their behalf, but they probably are expecting to clear most of the files this week, and we are quite confident that it should get cleared this week sometime. And because of the impending political elections, etc. So I think it should happen very shortly. We don't expect any major headwinds or any other delays there as far as that is concerned. As far as we are concerned, we already raised the funds one way or the other. In any case, the worst case scenario is already there with us, you know, just text for policy and all that. So there is no need to wait for the exact approval to come in before we take. So we already started construction and leveling of the ground and, you know, development of ground and all that. So as we had earlier discussed during various meetings and so on, so sometime first week of April, we should have the factory ready, at least the first phase, what we call the POC. And all the machinery manufacturers, etc., also we have kind of sounded them out. And so the first set of lines that are expected to be coming, I think we are ready. And so I don't expect any delay in commencement of this particular project. So as far as on the customer side is concerned, a couple of customers have come and audited us also. Obviously, the orders will come only after I show the line, so that will happen sometime in the first quarter of next year. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, the checkbox ticking has happened. We have had their senior people visit us and so on. So at least two of the customers we already completed. That's something that I know. Some more probably are being done and as we speak. So this time, whatever perceived delay by government, etc., we utilize to get our all other activities, you know, completed and so on. So we don't expect any major headwind. As far as PC board is concerned, we have got a couple of options for land, and we are just finalizing it because this needs water and so on and so forth. So there is some little examination that is being done, and we have asked some experts to look at that pieces of land available to us. And we'll very shortly take a decision, and we are already parallelly preparing our contractors for this factory construction. The layout, etc., everything is ready. What machinery to be done, all that is ready. So you will not expect too much delay. We have earmarked about 9 months for construction of this factory. Maybe we have to do it now on 8 months. I think that's imminently doable. And then post that, this is being a process plant. It takes some time for it to become a regular production. So we have given ourselves somewhere between 1.5 to 2 years' time to show commercial production from this.
So the bare PCB plant will start showing up in terms of revenues only in towards the end of FY26, per se.
FY26, second half onwards, you can expect. But significant one, FY27 onwards, you can expect.
Okay. And from the OSAT perspective, it would be largely from the end of FY25, we should start seeing some trickling in of revenues and big time or scale up from FY26 onwards.
Yeah, the proof of concept phase will start from second quarter, that is H1 of FY25. Thereafter, some revenues will start. But all the other lines being established and then coming, delivering good capacity utilization. Yeah, towards end of FY26, you'll see some significant commercial sales.
Got it, sir. I'll come back in the question queue. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Harshil Solanki from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Good afternoon. I have just one question on the Kavach technology. So, sir, where are we on the development part of Kavach, and when can we expect the approval and tender participation?
Sir, can you repeat the question and just come closer to the mic, please? I did not understand.
Yeah. Sir, my question is on the Kavach technology, the TCAS.
At the Kavach railway. TCAS. No, I got it. Yes. I got it.
Sure.
So as far as Kavach is concerned, we are working with the governmental agencies to develop this product. We also, so maybe this development being a critical product takes anywhere between 6 months to a year before we can showcase a solution. And then thereafter, the agencies have to take it and then approve it. So we think commercial production of these Kavach-related activities should happen after maybe 1.5 years' time. But at this point in time, suffice it to say that we are actively working. We put all the resources that's required as committed to the minister, honorable minister. And you can see some results by first quarter of next year in terms of at least protos being developed and made.
Okay, sir. Already there are players who are approved, and they are executing the project also. So how do we plan to compete against them after a year of?
Yeah. So, yeah. No, no, I good question, sir. Actually, the issue here is that we are a non-brand supplier, right? We don't have a Kaynes branded item. So everywhere, our offering is as an ODM to another brand player, essentially. So the other three players that you are referring to, they have all been given a trial order only. So they are at a stage where we will get to that stage by maybe third quarter or second quarter of next year. Sir, we're not that far away, actually. So once the solution, so part of the, we will also leapfrog in terms of timing of approval. See, the first three players have to probably bear the full burden of full-fledged approval. The design is similar. So in our case, maybe the approval gets shorter because the proof of concept would have been done by the railways and so on. So it's only reliability of the hardware that they will check. The solutions are essentially not different. It is driven by the same agency, the government. So let's say, just to illustrate the thing, if they take X amount of time, we will take X minus delta X amount of time for approval. So we'll really not miss anything. Obviously, if you come late, we do have to get business late only. So from that perspective, yes. But on the other hand, we have the additional advantage. We can offer this solution not only as a Kaynes player, but we can offer it to many other branded players. So we are focusing on this being an ODM kind of solution at this point in time.
Okay. So just a clarification, we will do both OEM as well as ODM for Kavach or just one part of it?
We will do ODM and OEM both. Because if somebody, one of these three players, if they think that they want to use our facilities for enhancing their capability, we are always welcome to do that because we are adding capacities and so on. So we are open to both OEM as well as ODM for Kavach.
Understood, sir. Yeah. That was it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ashish.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Lokesh Manik from Vallum Capital. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So my question was on employee expenses for this quarter. Is that about 4.9% of sales, which is about 150 basis points or 1.5% lower than the average of 6%. So is this sustainable going forward?
Yeah. So, yeah, what you are asking about is the operating leverage. So if you take the point, I would like to just explain to you, saying that out of the total 100 rupees of sales, there is X amount of money available after paying for materials. And out of that, there is an EBITDA, if you remove that, roughly about 15-16% is available. This is in two parts. One is the employee and those kinds of fixed costs, which I can get the operating leverage. And the other part is something called variable cost, which unless I change the scale, it doesn't alter significantly. So your question is whether I can get operating leverage further. Simple answer, yes. We will get operating leverage further, maybe over this year and even next year.
You mean 400 back?
Yeah, we will get operating leverage. And part of the operating leverage comes from employee costs. Other parts come from other fixed costs. So we will get significant reduction due to operating leverage over 2.5 years. Thereafter, again, we have to increase the quantum of these costs. Then again, once the sales goes up, again, operating leverage.
Okay. So my second question is on the drop in gross margins for the last four quarters now. And that coincides with the lower contribution from medical and from IoT and consumer products, which used to combine be 20% to the revenue last year. And this quarter it is at 10% combined, medical, consumer and IoT products. So how much of the impact on the gross margin is due to the lower contribution from these segments?
Yeah. Just I'll take a step back and say the lower gross contribution is also a function of lower composition from railway and aerospace. We see aerospace is from 2-3%, and railway is about 10-11%. In the fourth quarter, you can expect these numbers to go up at least significantly 2-3% in each of these segments. And that will certainly impede any erosion of margin on a blended basis by any other segments like industrial, IoT, etc. going up, you know. And as far as the medical is concerned, while medical is a good margin business, but the client onboarding takes a little longer time. So we have been working with the client for last 1 year, and we expect, if not, I think today probably the client visit is there and so on. So we will come to know. Hopefully we will get some execution clearance in JFM. If not, FY25, we will start getting medical. So the contribution of reduction due to medical and IT not working is not very high. But the aerospace and railway not picking up to their original level, yeah, that does hurt us a little. But I am happy to tell you that that is now fixed. And last quarter and next year full, you will see some good action in that area.
Great. Thank you so much, sir, for taking my question.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Venkatesh Balmunna from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity. By the way, the name is Venkatesh Balasubramanya. Now coming to the question, we actually heard your TV interview where you mentioned that you are quite confident of your 18 billion kind of revenue guidance for the full year, which basically means 6.3 billion rupees of revenues in the fourth quarter. you also mentioned that, you know, 15% plus margins is possible. I mean, it will be slightly better than last year. So last year actually is it 14.9%. So even if I assume 15%, that basically means that in the fourth quarter, you have to do 17.6%, a margin level which you have historically not achieved. So is this a number which is feasible?
Yeah, thanks, Ankitesh. So yeah, obviously this, there are a lot of moving parts to this math, okay? So of course I had qualified my this thing in the TV interview saying we'll try and get some of the next year numbers orders executed this year, essentially in the aerospace and railway area. So it's possible to do 17 etc. in a quarter if you have a reasonably good proportion of railways electronics and aerospace electronics, okay? If the proportion of business in the other lower margin segments is increasing, then it may not go up so much, but certainly it will be much higher. The EBITDA is driven by two aspects. One is gross margin, the other is operating leverage. So like I said to previous analyst, we are likely to get some more benefit of operating leverage during Q4. So that will give you at least 1 or 2% higher EBITDA numbers by itself. Because we will do minimum 1800, and God willing, we can probably work towards more too. And then in terms of the composition of the business, we are likely to, we're trying to make sure that if there are orders for railway and industries that we can execute now, then we'll give preference for those orders. So these factors put together, it looks like it is much very feasible to hit the last year's EBITDA number, okay? And probably do more. It depends on how much we are able to execute. The moment we have confirmation on, see, there is only one thing which is between us and this performance is whether we get confirmation on receipt of all components for all the different orders that we receive in short cycle. So that's what is right now happening. So hopefully it is simple answer to your question, it's certainly feasible. Whether it will happen or not, I can't talk about future, but I think by all different, let's say, factors that affect it, I think looks like we can get there.
Okay. The second question is not related to numbers. It is on the OSAT business. Now, we are already in, January has ended, Feb is starting. You are telling you already started work on your OSAT factory in terms of construction of the factory. We have not got the subsidy approval yet. Any time now the election code of conduct, rather the election date might be announced, you know, let's say they say that April is general election. So the election code of conduct will immediately kick in. So will the India Semiconductor Mission be in a position to even make an announcement, even if you get approved? And so that is the first part, you know, what happens if the whole thing gets delayed and the decision is actually decided post general election? So it is possible that you might, even post general election, you might have to wait for another 2 to 3 months. So we might be waiting till June. So is it worth the risk of starting construction on the factory when this kind of delay is possible? That is one thing. The second part of the question is it a given that you will make an application and you will 100% get the subsidy? Isn't there any likelihood that the government might say, maybe, you know, your JV partner is not okay, I am not comfortable, I need more assurance. So isn't it too much of a risk to start work? Because without the subsidy, I am not sure whether the business is financially very feasible. So that is one part of the question. Similarly, on the other subsidies, around 25% subsidy was supposed to come from the state government. In PCB, you are supposed to get 20% and 25% from the central government and state government. Has any of the subsidies come? And if the subsidy will not come, doesn't it make sense to wait for the subsidy before you, you know, the official communication before you start constructing?
Yeah, Vintesh. Yeah. These are questions that were in our minds the last 3 quarters, okay? Having said that, see, as far as building expenses concerned, we are not risking. In fact, if you notice, we have also published how much of money we raised in QIP and where it is resided. We have already funded it through our earlier general corporate purposes. Of course, now we will shift that expenditure from the previous IPO to this IPO. So we paid about 48 crores for the land. Plus this construction starting work, the first shed, is not going to cost you excess of some 10-15 crores, okay? But it gives you huge benefit in terms of lead time, because the cement and all these concrete and all of these things and the entire ground leveling, these are all long lead items. They're not very high cost items. The high cost items are the machines actually. So here, all said and done, we will not spend more than 100 crores on land and building, actually speaking, in the, of course, the first POC stage. We are not talking about risking a whole lot of capital here. The second thing is, see, the worst case scenario, you talked about, of course, there are questions on whether government will be able to announce, etc. So whatever little we understand from our interactions is that they would definitely do it in a very short time, even probably within this week or early, but we can't speak on behalf of somebody without knowing exactly what is on their mind, so that I leave it to their discretion to do this. But in terms of whatever we understand, the government is interested in pushing this particular agenda, saying that they will approve all of this and prior to the announcement of any election, etc. Because the moment they announce elections, then all of these things, like correctly said, gets postponed by 2-3 months. So we are not talking about risking huge amount of capital here. We are talking about building a building. The worst case, supposing we say something dramatic happens, etc. Then also these buildings are generic buildings. We are not actually putting a clean room right now. The clean room, etc. comes in later. You know, all of those kinds of things come in a little later. So we probably will, we can use it for other purposes too. It's not that this building will actually become waste or something. But on the other hand, the possibility of such things is pretty remote, actually speaking. And we are pretty confident that, you know, this whole system, all these questions will probably shortly get answered. And the other question about whether if you apply, you will get approvals. The government is not working in a rejection or acceptance methodology. What we have seen is that, supposing there are 10 parameters in the project execution, they take one by one and work with you to get that right. It's not as if you write an application with 10 items and then they say, it may say 5 is not good, so get out. It's not like that at all. Each and every item they discuss with you, and there's a big semiconductor mission team also. Some of them are technical experts and so on. They also help us to solve those problems. They also work with us to make sure that if there is some particular agreement, for instance, some foreign partner, how much investment should be there, etc. They work with us. And we have got, in every one of those areas, we've got plan B and plan C also in place. So it's not as if we'll get badly off if they don't accept our point of view in one particular area. We have, and see, the biggest proof of the pudding is in eating. So customers' confidence, which we are able to get from some 2 or 3 large semicon companies, so that is weighing in our favor. So all in all put together, I think it's not a big risk to, it would have been nice if they had announced everything last month itself. We could have gone to the next stage. But nothing is lost because we are covering all the long lead items with a minimal risk. You know, the land is never a risk. Already the land appreciation there, if you really see, and I can't really talk about it, but it's a huge land appreciation already in those places. Right next to our building is a villa, etc. Those are all going at multiple times what we have paid for and all that. So in real terms, economic terms, no, nothing lost. It is just that it's a little bit irritating to keep waiting and, you know, some of these things. But I guess what is not in our hands, we have to do whatever best. So we also don't want a situation in which the last moment government approves and says, hey, where is your factory in April, you know, because you put that in DPR. So we don't want to get caught on the wrong foot. We want to maintain timelines. As far as the state government subsidy is concerned, we are in possession of the government order, which is like almost a check being issued. We've got certain conditions that you've got to commence operation by this time, etc. That is why we are in a hurry to make sure that we don't lose time. You know, last moment somebody gives approval, and then after that we are short of 1 month, then it becomes a big problem.
Okay. Thanks a lot for those detailed answers. I hope you get your approval this week, and also I hope that you meet, not only meet, you beat your guidance also. All the very best.
No, absolutely. Thanks, Venkatesh. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Yeah, so thank you all for attending this, and very nice and value-adding questions. We had a very nice discussion. And we have noted down all the concerns and all that. So those have been answered. The remaining, you can always get in touch with myself or Neeraj, and we'll be happy to take you through details as we are permitted to. So thank you once again. Have a great evening.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financials, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.